If you like electronic dance music with an Indian or Asian beat, then you might know the name Kersh Kale. If not, well, I bet you've heard his music. Kersh Kale is one of the pioneers of the Asian underground. He grew up in Brooklyn, the son of Indian parents. He learned to play the tabla, and then he started mixing it up. Today, Rolling Stone magazine calls him the High Priest of Electro. He gets top billing at clubs from Ibiza to New York City. He's remixed Give Peace a Chance with Yoko Ono. He's written songs with Sting. He's even DJed with Barack Obama in the White House. He's also scored a lot of Bollywood movies. Charles Monroe Kane caught up with him to talk about Kale's new album, Up, which blends his two cultures, Indian and American.
You call yourself a musical translator between the U.S. and India. What needs translated?
Well, I think that experience, you know, the things that people go through in their lives, I mean, making people feel like we're, you know, from the same place. You know, I think at this point, being a traveler, being a traveling musician, I feel more so that there's so much more similarities in the places that I visit than there are differences. So I feel like, that's what the point of the music is.
I've been blowing in the wind, but the wind can blow me over. Take it to a place that I can rest my head until the storm is over. I reach out to the sun for an answer to a riddle. Take me to a place where up is down, cause I'm just caught up in the middle.
I'm not really trying to describe America to India and India to America. I think it's more about describing an experience that winds up becoming much more universal. You know, it's not necessarily about being either or. It's about seeing that something so particular from a particular place can be taken out of context and married so well with something completely, you know, which would be considered disparate or out of context, and brought together and almost speaking the same language.
I think I'm on my way now. I think I'm going under. I'm sitting in the dark, my eyes are shut, but I still see the colors. But I still see the colors.
Definitely music brings people together on a different level, you know, because we're, you know, we wake up in the morning and then we're constantly kind of divided into groups.
Yeah.
We're divided into, you know, different cultural groups, economic groups, you know, racial groups, whatever it is. And it's always about the perspective we choose to take, you know, and sometimes music gives us a different perspective on where we are in the world, where we stand in the world, who we're truly aligned with in the world. You know, all of those things don't necessarily need to be informed by the kind of the normal media outlets that we are, you know, kind of inundated with on a daily basis. So that's what always, I mean, I feel like that's what music and art, what they're able to do is cut through all of that.
How? Tell me how.
We choose in our day, how, you know, the perspective we take on where we stand in the world. I mean, if you're spending your entire day kind of looking at the world from a political perspective, then you're going to see yourself within that political perspective. But if you see yourself in a different, more abstract perspective where you realize that people pretty much all over the world want the same things. They want, you know, they want to wind up with the same things. They want to die with the same things. They want to, you know, these are things that make the world a lot more similar. Culture just simply becomes different spices, different flavors of the same thing, as opposed to reasons why we cannot communicate.
You're American, but you're an immigrant. Mm-hmm. And that, being an immigrant, a first-generation immigrant in America, has huge meaning through the whole history of American culture. How does that affect how you look at this?
I've always kind of had to deal with the fact that, like, there was an explanation that was needed that was never really being able to put into words. I mean, for instance, growing up in Queens or in Long Island, basically in a predominantly white Jewish neighborhood, you know, there was really no context for an Indian immigrant back then, I think. I mean, it's very different now than it was when I was growing up. You know, so there's this incredible alienation, this huge void that gets created. And for some of us, we were able to kind of start to fill that void with a culture that we were able to kind of create through our art. So that's kind of the reaction to that alienation, that void. You know, I mean, there were many different things that I did as I was growing up to deal with that. But I think the most effective thing I did was to put it into the art form that I decided to create.
Let's talk about that art you've decided to create, because the art is distinctly American and distinctly Indian. How did you start in putting things like a tabla or a sitar into American music?
It really started from, you know, when I was a kid. I mean, my father was constantly singing Indian melodies. He was constantly singing classical melodies or film melodies. And when he would hear anything that we were playing, whether it was Michael Jackson or The Police or Def Leppard or anything that was playing on the radio, he would start singing Indian melodies on top of it.
That sounds fantastic.
To the point where it would just drive us crazy. You know, we would be like, please stop. But there's something to, you know, I mean, if you would have asked me this question 10 years ago, I probably wouldn't have answered this way. But I know that this is where it comes from now, is my ability to be able to hear these things as one, you know, when I hear, if I come up with a chord progression or, you know, something that, you know, was inspired by, you know, somebody like a Peter Gabriel or something like that, that all of a sudden an Indian melody will just fly right on top of it.
Wow.
It definitely comes from the fact that my dad used to do that incessantly when we were growing up to everything we were listening to. My goal when I make music is not to necessarily tell a story, but to help tell your story. In that, I mean, for me, music has always been a guide and a soundtrack to my own life. So I always feel like the music that I make should become a soundtrack to other people's lives. So in that way, there is an arc to it. There's always a, I mean, I don't try and just kind of create a mood and let that play for 5 minutes. I mean, I try and take people on a bit of a journey, whether it be throughout the album or whether it be through a song. But it's definitely important to me that people take a journey, you know, whether it be taking themselves through a healing process or through a dark space or whatever it is. You know, I mean, if that's the way I'm feeling, I try and put that entire emotional arc into a piece so that hopefully somebody else can kind of mirror that in their own story.
That's amazing, because I'm thinking you're also a proficient tabla player, and tablas in its tradition tell a story, and you're combining the two. You're like, almost two stories are happening. How does that work?
Well, I think that oftentimes you realize that a lot of the stories, a lot of the things that you're trying to say are the same story. So sometimes you can put them into the same context. And, you know, like, for instance, I mean, I've said this for years, bringing together, like, the, you know, ancient mythology of India, like the Mahabharata and the Ramayana. If you read those texts and you look at the story of, say, A New Hope, the Star Wars, the first one that came out with Luke Skywalker, there's such huge similarities in those stories, you know, and it's just different ways of telling the same kind of story. So I'm kind of using the language that I've learned and being able to use that language in order to create my own stories. We can analyze and intellectualize and review music all we want, but we really cannot judge how music touches people and how much it means to somebody at a particular time in their lives. I mean, for me, you know, when I make music, I can only hope that, you know, there's somewhere out there, you know, in however many thousands of people that might listen to the music, that for someone, it's profound. You know, for someone, it's a moment in their lives that this just becomes the sound and the soundtrack of what they're going through. You know, that's there's nothing more powerful than that, you know, in terms of one's relationship with music.
That's Kersh Kale talking with Charles Monroe Kane about his newest album called Up.